Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. Boy, do we have a good one for you today, because our pal David Castillo will join us from the great Substack Stars Stack and the other things David's doing, D Magazine. Obviously, he has his Stars Discord, which, by the way, I am participating in as much as I can. So I appreciate. Yeah, I know. Thank you, David. Everyone. Thank you for being nice to me in that Discord forum. You guys are awesome. Shout out to you. So we'll get to David in just a moment, because we have a schedule release and we're going to talk about, can we actually break down an NHL schedule, why it differs from other sports. Then David will give us a deep dive on Jason Robertson, the value of Jason Robertson. I think that's really important, because a lot of Stars fans are saying, can we make up for Jason Robertson in this way or that way? Or what is Jason Robertson? Does he bring enough? David's going to give us those answers, and then I'm going to give David some questions to answer as far as, if this following player does well, the Stars do blank. And David will finalize my sentences. So it's going to be a Stars-packed edition of Spits and Suds. I told you the guys the other day about the on-time experts, and they came to my house. And it has been an awesome experience. It just continues. So I couldn't figure out why one of my bathrooms that I never use was not flushing. And I did not have the education. I readily admit it. I raised my hand because I'm sitting there with a plunger and I cannot figure it out. So I call the on-time expert. Same day service guaranteed. Of course, that happens. They fell within. I got to pick a window. I did not have to wait at my house from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. They showed up in the window, right at the beginning of the window, which I absolutely loved. And they completely fixed my issue. And guess what? My toilet's working better. The shower was actually clogged as well. And the washing machine I ran last night, I thought my washing machine was actually broken. No, it's part of the whole clog. So the whole pipe in that area was causing all this issue. And the on-time experts, for just a low price, took care of all those issues. And that stress just went away, because I have guests showing up in October and I was really excited that that's taken care of. You can also get your pipes cleaned on the first floor for just $99 for first-time customers. And don't forget about that $59 first-time customer special as far as a complete HVAC cleaning. I had that done. And they tell you, this could take an hour and a half to 2 hours, but don't you want it to take that long? Because they're going to take your system apart. They're going to gut it, clean it, get rid of that dust, get rid of that grime. And it's going to be high efficient. And that's what you want, because that's going to save you money. Because when it doesn't have a lot of pressure, it's not going to run as much. And your temperature is going to stay cool. So that's what I love about the on-time experts. They continue to educate me on these things. Not to mention, they support local hockey in DFW. They're going to be a big part of our August 11th event at Boomer Jacks, which I'm going to talk to with David in just a moment. But the on-time expert said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We're going to have Stars merchandise, and we're going to have tickets to Stars games. That's what we want to bring to the table. So if you show up to the free event at Boomer Jacks on August 11th, they'll have four pairs of Stars tickets to give away. That's the kind of support the on-time experts does for local hockey, the official partner of the Dallas Stars, the official partner of Spits and Suds. So please support them, the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. We bring in our friend David Castillo. It is always an adventure when David joins me, but in a good way. So it is good to see you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm really curious what adventure means.
You know, with you, there's all these tree branches as far as like hockey and other subjects that we lead into, specifically at the end, where it's always an awkward dismount. So maybe today will be the exception, but it's always a good time. It's a challenge when you're on. I love having you on the show.
Okay, so we're here to talk about the Conor McGregor fight. The I was on so I did the show with D Magazine. I don't know when it's going to go up. Maybe today, but they put me on the spot me being an MMA fan and having written about MMA of many, many moons ago, put me on the spot asking me about the fight. And I was just like, oh man, like, isn't karma great? That was kind of the extent of my analysis of the Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, that was tough. I think if it was on regular like pay-per-view, I think the heat would have been more. But the fact that it was on Paramount now, I think kind of eased it, because yes, technically you did pay, but you didn't pay what you used to pay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's the sport itself is kind of in its own sort of toilet of like drama and controversy. So it's so hard for me to like keep track, but nobody wants to hear about MMA. So we can cut to the super exciting Dallas Stars just released schedule. Did that sound sarcastic? I'm not trying to make it sarcastic, man. There's no per 60 in this analysis of the Stars schedule release, so it's hard for me to contribute.
Let me first start with our August 11th event and stick tap to the Stars Discord, which you started. There was talk that people on the Stars Discord are going to do their own gathering at the event. And I, for one, am jacked about that. I absolutely love that there are going to be like sub events within the event, because to me, when I started this podcast, it's like, let's grow the great game of hockey together. So the fact that people on your Discord, David, would use this opportunity to meet other people from the Stars Discord, I was excited when I saw that post. So that's great. Big news. We've added Steven Meserve of 100 Degree Hockey. He's coming up for the event. So we'll have good Texas Stars knowledge. Steven's been wonderful. And he is obviously an author and collabed with Sean on the book We Win Here. Well, we'll have signed copies of We Win Here to give away. So we're going to have Spits and Suds merchandise. We're going to have collared shirts, T-shirts of Spits and Suds. We're going to have other companies with their T-shirts. We're going to have Stars tickets. We're going to have Stars merchandise. And we're going to have the book We Win Here to give away some copies as well. We're going to have a live Spits and Suds with myself, with Leah Simakopoulos from the Dallas Morning News, Robert Tiffin, StarsThoughts.com, and Sean as well. So sorry you can't make it. I know you have a prior commitment. But I do appreciate you putting it out on your Discord and your social channels. It does mean a lot, buddy.
Yeah. For those who don't know, my prior commitment is kind of a significant I don't know what to call it. Test, doctor's appointment. No reason to kind of go into it, but it's something that unfortunately, like just this, the way the schedule broke down really sucked, which is why like it always stings to hear that like the guest list grows, and I'm happy to promote it though on the Discord, just because I mean, why wouldn't I, like, given how much you promote us, and also the fact that, like, you know, it's not just, oh, we have somebody, you know, doing adding more Stars coverage to the Dallas Stars media space, but it's, and I speak for everybody, it's the quality, man. It's you know, you're pumping out shows, but fantastic guests. And, you know, I think, you know, I speak for Sean and Robert and others when I also say that, you know, we always have a fantastic time with you as well. And Greg's so courteous whenever we're in the studio waiting for Gavin to show up, because he's always late.
Yeah, he's definitely the hidden gem of this program. By the way, if you haven't had the chance, it was really, really nice. Sean tweeted it out today. I got a lot of compliments on our podcast yesterday with NAHL Commissioner Mark Frankenfeld. I thought that was a really interesting discussion on junior hockey, the expansion of junior hockey, the partnership they have, kind of a soft partnership with USHL, the potential of a new team coming to North Texas. You know, we have the Brahmas and maybe a second team comes in. So I thought that was interesting, fighting whether it should be allowed. He talked about the new CHL rules with the Canadian Hockey League as far as their partnership with the NCAA, with players now eligible. So there was a lot of things that we went into. So if you get a chance, I think it's a real interesting deep dive on hockey in general. And anytime you can have a commissioner in, you know, on your program, that's always great. So please check that out. He was a very, very good guest. And by the way, David, just toward the end of the show, I asked and I was deemed the deputy non-official commissioner of the NAHL, something I will wear with great pride. I will now go into the rink and try to throw my weight around, and people are going to be like, who are you? It doesn't matter.
I don't get this reference because I didn't listen to the show, but I guess that's all the more reason to catch up on some of your latest.
Well, he's the commissioner, so he already has a deputy commissioner. So I asked him at the end, I said, we've been talking nearly an hour. I think the interview's gone well. And he said it has. I said, can I be named the deputy unofficial commissioner of your league just so I could put it on my dating profile? He said, yes.
I'm not sure that's going to sort of add to the quality of your dating profile, but you know what? Listen, your good looks speak for themselves. That swollenness that you have in the upper body area also, you know, sort of adds to that sex appeal. I mean, I think you can leave that out.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's get into this Stars schedule. So, you know, the NFL schedule, there are 17 games. So basically you can just go down and you could say, I think they're going to win, they're going to lose. Well, when you have the length of a Dallas Stars schedule, it's not like David and I are going to be like, first game, St. Louis, second game, Nashville. Do you think they'll win on a Saturday night in Nashville? Like, we're not going to do that. But I do feel as though you can look like last year, for example. We knew going into the Olympics that January was going to be a gauntlet of a month for the Stars based on the number of road games, and it was a gauntlet. So I think by looking at the schedule, we can pick games that you say to yourself, oh, here are the months to capitalize. Like, for instance, to start off 2026, the Stars have only five road games to start 2026, and they have 9 home games. So things like that, I think, you know, are pretty important, David. You know, I think you can take little things like that. What are your thoughts? Is there anything you see when you look at an NHL schedule that makes you say, okay, this is where they need to take advantage?
Not necessarily. I feel like the schedule is a schedule, and if you're good, you're going to put up good results. If you're bad, bad results, right? That's not a very meaningful statement. What I would say, though, is that I think where the schedule does affect teams is fatigue, because fatigue is a real thing. In fact, Micah Blake McCurdy, who runs HockeyViz, he even factors that into his projection model, precisely because, well, you know, as we know, especially when teams, you know, play their backup, right? Back to backs, for example, tend to be not as favorable to teams, regardless of whether it's like home or away. And it just so happens that Dallas has 13 back to backs, which is tied.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Tied for 17th in the entire league. So that's definitely a kind of piece of, you know, it's depending on how that breaks down, right? That can either kind of spiral, you know, in terms of like, well, how does that affect them? You know, Dallas already has a situation where they're in a really tough division, and where they end up at the end of the season is quite critical, as we saw last season, right? Having to play Minnesota in the first round. And so I think those things do have a ripple effect. I feel like, you know, depending on the quality of the team, you know, it's not going to change destiny, so to speak, but let's not say it's not a factor. And of course, you know, travel, right? That's, you know, Dallas, you know, one of the teams that kind of travels more than most. And I think it's kind of.
Yeah, I think, you know, And for Stars fans that are making plans, let's give this detail. Home games by day, 4 games on Monday, 11 games on Tuesday, 4 games on Wednesday, Thursday, 7 home tilts, Friday, only 3 tilts this year, Saturday, 10 home dates, and Sunday, 3. So you have 13 total games on, well, if you want to count Friday, 16 total games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So a lot of Thursday games, which is kind of interesting. And then you look at the back-to-backs, as you mentioned, 13 sets, 26 games total. And the one thing I did notice, which is good, was the schedule I felt was pretty favorable as far as, while the travel is certainly there and you can't change the fact that you're in Dallas, but like, give you an example, home for St. Louis and then October 3rd at Nashville. That's not too bad as far as travel. Colorado, then at Colorado. Once again, you have a home game first, home versus Buffalo, and then versus Florida. So at first, you're looking at a back-to-back. You're like, oh, my goodness, at Buffalo, at Florida, that's a long road trip. No, they're both home, so that's okay. So you go through these, and it's kind of interesting. You do have one that's fascinating, December 19th at Winnipeg, December 20th at Winnipeg. The very rare back-to-back, which I thought was fascinating, they did that in Seattle a couple of years ago. And I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting. And then you look at that February Stadium Series game. And I think the Stars have an advantage here, David, in that the games leading up, you have Minnesota and then you have Philadelphia, but are both home tilts. And I kind of like that because for the Stadium Series or outdoor winter classics, whatever they play in, obviously, they're looking ahead. It's, to me, easier looking ahead when you're playing home games.
Yeah, and they have a really interesting kind of breakdown of, you know, for example, there are quite a few two-game series. Was it 7, right, where in October, right, two-game series versus and then at the Avalanche, November versus and then at Vegas and so forth. And I think that's pretty cool. I think that's something that I would like to see kind of the team or the league do more of. But I think the thing that interests me most, kind of not, maybe not in terms of like the schedule, but is really like how the Central is going to break down. Because I don't know that Minnesota is necessarily a good team, or not good team, but like they're obviously very good, but a better team is what I should have said. And so it really feels like this year, and I know this is going to bring a huge smile to your face, an ear-to-ear grin. Colorado, Dallas, and Utah, that's going to be the three-headed monster in the Central. And I honestly don't think the other Central teams are that much – like, I feel like St. Louis is better. Well, maybe not better because they got rid of Cairo. But, I mean, they have some really good prospects. And then even Winnipeg, like, I loved Vigo Bjork. I thought it was a great pick in this draft. He's not going back to the SHL this season. So it sounds like he's going to finally fix Winnipeg's big issue, which is a second line center. And yes, you know, undersized, blah, blah, blah. Like that's, oh my goodness. Like I'm so tired of hearing this ridiculous size bias. As if tall players don't also have obstacles that they have to deal with. Like,
sure.
You don't think it's harder for like Leon Bichelle to handle the puck at like, you know, 6'10" or 8'2", whatever he is. I mean, like that's difficult. And so, so I'm really curious what's going to happen. Like combine that with some of the difficulty of the schedule with Dallas and back-to-backs, like where are they going to finish? Are they still going to be top three? Might they fall out into a wild card spot? I don't think we're there. I mean, I don't think Dallas is taking that much of a step back, but I do think stuff like the schedule can be its own X factor when you also consider that, you know, the division is still very, very tough.
Well, answer me this. What do you feel has changed in Minnesota that it wouldn't be Colorado, Minnesota, Utah, Dallas with a wild card?
Well, I mean, to me, the biggest one is losing Zuccarello. You know, this is right. I mean, you saw how different Minnesota looked, especially on the power play without Zuccarello. So even at his advanced age, Zuccarello is very, very good. I actually kind of like that. I actually really like that move for LA. And so, like, yes, like they did get Blake Coleman. But, you know, they also, again, they still have this issue with center. And I suspect that team is going to make a move for a center at some point, if not in the offseason, then, you know, certainly at the trade deadline. But that team does not look better. And even Blake Coleman, I feel like he's definitely a player that is probably going to hit, you know, some sort of, you know, age-related decline. If not this year, then, you know, certainly next year. And it's not like they have like a ton of prospects, which they got rid of in order to acquire Hughes, that are going to come up. I'm pretty sure Charlie Strommel is not going to be playing on the roster. I think he's still in college, but and especially when you consider that Utah, and again, this is where like schedule and improvement of other teams comes into play. You know, if Utah is like winning those games against Minnesota, where otherwise Minnesota like would have been, especially with the additions of Trocheck, and Anders Lee, like I feel like Minnesota is very much kind of back to being a wild card team because of that Zuccarello loss.
Okay. Yeah. And up the middle, you mentioned daily faceoff. I think they do a nice job as far as producing, you know, who the projected lines would be. They have Yurov as the first line center, Erickson Ek as the second line, Ryan Hartman as the third line center, and then Michael McCarron, who they picked up in the trade and signed him to a multi-year deal. They have him with both Foligno's on each side as the fourth line.
Yeah, which is not getting it done. And I think Yurov is a solid young player. I wouldn't be surprised if Yurov has a breakout year, but that's not getting it done, man.
Interesting.
Look at Utah, right? Look at Utah's center depth, right? It's granted, I didn't like Schmaltz, them extending Schmaltz, especially with the addition of Trocheck, but there's no doubt in that, you know, Cooley, Schmaltz, Trocheck, Hayton, right down the middle, that's pretty wild stuff. And this is a team with fantastic top six, like winger depth. I think the blue line is still good. I love Simashev. Man, I just wish they were still in Arizona.
Hey, it is. That's a great point. It definitely made me think like how much ownership matters. Like we almost take it for granted. I mean, thank you, Tom Gilardi, for spending up to the cap. Cause it wasn't like this at all times, you know, I mean, in Dallas when they were going through bankruptcy, those teams were like Brad Richards and then who else?
Do we like them spinning to the cap?
Yeah. Well, good point. Good point. But at the same time, I do feel as though it is, I mean,
not to be argumentative, but
no, but you're right. But player acquisition is important. But the fact that, I mean, Utah has the ownership, the barn, it's all in place now. It just seems like it's all, I do feel bad for those Coyote fans. I mean, that were dedicated, you know, there weren't a ton of them, but for those Coyote fans that were dedicated and what they're watching in Utah now, it's like, ah.
All because billionaires are so cheap, but I guess that's another discussion for.
Yeah. Don't pay their hotel bills.
Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so let's get into this Jason Robertson deep dive because I think it's important. We've been talking about salary and stuff, but you know, one of the things that happens when Jason Robertson says no to Seattle as far as an extension, or, you know, he kind of holds the cards in some way. Stars can hold the cards in other ways, as people naturally talk about trades and you know, like I was talking on the phone today and someone was like, okay, maybe we can get this person and this person, and this makes up for Jason Robertson. So I think it's very timely that you're on today, David, to tell us basically like a deep dive as far as what you'd be losing, and you did a good job on your Substack, what you'd be losing with Jason Robertson going away and what he brings to the table.
You mind if I give you a curveball and just start asking you some questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. What is Johnston's B game to you?
Boy, that's really interesting you asked that, because I thought Minnesota did a great job in the playoffs taking away his A game, which is that bumper position that he thrives at. And to me, it's like he needs to develop something else. I think he was really tricky around the net, you know, as far as the corner in the net with some nifty moves and stuff. But I do think, you know, if teams are going to start focusing on Wyatt Johnston in the middle. So I don't really have a good answer as far as his B game, because that A game is so focused.
No, I think that's a great answer. And it sort of also answers the question, right? Which is, well, we don't know yet. And part of that's development. Part of that's just, you know, Johnston is a super young player. But, you know, I think for all of our faith, and I'm the same way. I also have faith that Johnston's going to further develop. I think the defensive game is going to come along, but that defensive game is not there. And he was shut down in that Minnesota series at even strength. And so I asked that question to you about Mikko Rantanen. What is Rantanen's B game to you, Gavin?
So what I like about Mikko Rantanen, I've told on this program, is I do feel as though when Mikko Rantanen is on the ice, it opened up that bumper position for Wyatt Johnston. I know that's not the answer to your question. So I would say power play effectiveness would be his A. I also like him on the break.
But when Rantanen is not scoring, which he's brilliant at, and, you know, this is not to like take away or just kind of, you know, this is not like some sort of silly rhetorical game. Rantanen is not scoring. What is his B game that you think?
Yeah, I do not view him as a two-way player.
So that's always been the thesis for me, at least when it comes to Robertson and why he's so important, which is that I think there's a lot there. I think there's a separate discussion about what exactly Robertson is defensively, because, you know, I've never made the case that Robertson is some sort of Patrice Bergeron type player. He's not, he doesn't play defense the same way as, say, Mark Stone, but those defensive impacts are always there. And when it comes to the floor of Jason Robertson, I think most people can accept, even if they're not sure about, you know, who he really is defensively, I think most people can accept that, yeah, it seems responsible. You know, it's not a guy that misses his assignments. He may get beat in a foot race, but he's not a player that you have to worry about in terms of that beat game. And I think part of that is really aided by the fact that I don't think there are many players, maybe like two or three, that are better than Robertson at extending time in the offensive zone and making all those little decisions and being so detail oriented that, well, you end up with a situation like what happened in Buffalo with Alex Tuch, who, you know, develops a rush, you know, gets on his horse on the rush through the neutral zone, looks great, and then just takes a shot that misses and it's going the other way. Like, you're not seeing that with Robertson. And that to me adds up, because if there is a consistent factor in all the best teams, whether it's Carolina, whether it's like Vegas, Florida, it's the ability to control territory. And to me, Robertson is a great distillation and reflection of that ability to possess the puck, to make smart decisions. You know, you always hear about like, oh, you know, good offense comes from good defense. Well, you know, the reverse is also true in a three zone world. And so for me, it's hard to think about this potential Robertson loss. And I feel like, you know, not all fans, but I feel like some fans get lost in kind of the allure of like a shiny new object. Well, you know, we do need some speed, and Dylan Larkin would be great. And man, it sure would be nice to have a power forward like Matthew Knies. And I'm like, yes, like there are traits that other players may add that Robertson lacks, but he also has a ton of traits that those other players lack that Dallas would lose in the process of entertaining a potential deal. And so I think that's, to me, Robertson is to the forwards what Heiskanen is to the defense, the blue line. And I think that's what makes him so essential. And yes, the discussion takes on a different tone when you start talking about like the cap hit and his ask of $14 million. But, you know, what is $14 million when Robertson becomes Rantanen's age? Is it the Dorofeev contract, or is it, again, we're only talking about 1 year, right? 1 year where Dallas is against the cap crunch. That no longer becomes the case the year after. So for me, it's Robertson's A game might not be as strong as his B game, but he has both. And you don't have that with the other forwards. You don't, I mean, Hintz we do, but that assumes that Hintz stays healthy. Whereas Robertson, we can kind of rely on, we can kind of rely on to be healthy and to always be available.
Do you view him as the best two-way player on the Stars?
I'm going to say no. I feel like Hintz is the best two-way player. However, I feel like part of that kind of comes from Dallas maybe not being adventurous and putting Robertson on the PK, for example, where I do think he would be good. I mean, if Stone could figure it out, I feel like Robertson could figure it out on the PK. There are definitely different types of defense, right? So for Robertson, I think a lot of his defense kind of comes from the fact that like he's just a really good stick checker. He's pretty hard on the puck. And he's really good positionally, whereas Hintz kind of has that, but he also has the speed to sort of, you know, be able to kind of make those necessary back checks when, you know, the rush is kind of going the other way. So I do think just pound for pound, Hintz is the best two-way forward on the team. But man, like the fact that Robertson still can provide you with that level of defense, regardless of whether or not you think it's high level, but still an above average level of defense and that level of offense, which is 80 to 100 points, just I think it's wild. And I understand why people have, you know, issues with the contract and why maybe sort of turn it into something like the Stankoven plus draft capital situation that Tulski did is can be appealing. I don't understand though why, you know, people need to try to rationalize it as, well, maybe Robertson is not that elite, not elite enough to pay $14 million. I think that's ridiculous. I think he's absolutely worth that in the cap world that we're in now. It's just a matter of like, well, what does that do to Dallas's current window?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we also talked, when I talked with Sean on Tuesday, one of the things that we mentioned is, and this is a, whether they could get him is a different story, but a very fair scenario to throw out where you have the arbitration decision. Robertson plays for you for a year. You have Robertson coming off the books. You have Sagan coming off the books. You have Sam Steele coming off the books. You have some contracts coming off the books. You have McDavid sitting out there. And you could throw money, some serious money at Connor McDavid. Now, whether or not he wants to do it, that's up to the player. But for the first time in, I can remember, maybe 4 or 5 years, the Stars are going to have, if they want to just play out the year with Robertson, have a lot of cap space going into 2027, 28.
So isn't this kind of how we ended up here to begin with? Right, where, Rantanen falls into your lap, got to do it. And now, you know, a year later, kind of sans Stankoven, sans draft capital, sans Maverick Bork, and we're entertaining, you know, maybe sort of, you know, kind of the potential loss of, not that I think all of that sort of, you know, Rantanen's move does not single-handedly, like, you know, sort of cripple the Stars in that way, but it did have a pretty significant impact on everything else Dallas was able to do. And that's not to say that, you know, that was the wrong choice, not to say that like I have any issue with ranting on the team whatsoever, but I'm just like, yes, of course, like having McDavid would be fantastic, but every roster is affected differently. And so the last thing Dallas needs right now is a center. Could they use McDavid? Obviously. But I just don't know that – I can't help but feel like if Dallas went after McDavid, that Dallas wouldn't look similar to Edmonton is now, right? If Edmonton can't take advantage of Connor McDavid, like, and they have Leon Draisaitl, you know, whatever you think of Evan Bouchard, I mean, like, I think some of their main pieces on the blue line have kind of profile similar, right? Where they have Bouchard and Ekholm, Dallas has Heiskanen, Lindell, and, you know, I realize like Harley kind of is his own sort of X factor there, but like as great as McDavid is, like, I'm just having a hard time kind of seeing the vision here. And I feel like that vision was there, you know, when it was just Robertson and Johnson and Stankoven and Bork. I mean, this was a team that went to the conference finals without Rantanen. And so I'm just not, I'm not like, you have a core that you've developed that has shown you success, right? Yes, three Western Conference Finals is not the Stanley Cup, but and then you got bounced in the first round of this year. Nonetheless, like, you know that your core is on the verge. You know that the core, when healthy, can do some real damage. And we've been waiting for, say, like, I don't know, right-hand shot defensive help.
Yep.
That still hasn't come. And I'm not – I'm kind of not feeling it, man. I'm not vibing with that that potential path. As great as, I mean, the best player in the world, of course, but
sure.
You know, what are you losing in the process? That's always the question, and
we've experienced
that firsthand with Rantanen.
Yeah, no, I completely understand, and I think this is a big year for Thomas Harley. I think a lot of fans now, you know, it's one thing Thomas Harley playing on that rookie deal. And people are like, okay, you know, bounce back season. But when you're making over $10 million a year, boy, all of a sudden you need to be on that first power play, and you should be fighting to have people thinking that you should be on that top pairing defensively. I know the Stars switch it up a lot, but still, that's what happens when you get paid a lot of money. The expectations are up as well.
And that's all kind of always been, I think, part of the intrigue with the Robertson discussion, which is that, are there not other players you can look at into trade in or trim in order to ensure that you have room for Robertson plus, right? And I'm going to go to bat for my proposal of, again, it's the Sergachev for JJ. It's the JJ Moser trade. It's Colin Graf, Sam Dickinson for Thomas Harley. I will go to bat because I feel like Dickinson, he's not a player that, you know, you're ever going to put on the first power play unit, because that's Heiskanen's role. And Greer clearly invested in being a lot more aggressive to turn the Sharks around. And I don't think that makes that much sense for them at this point, since they added so much Trouba and Nurse. But I feel like there are so many other trades that Dallas could do that are kind of more interesting than potentially losing Robertson.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's play this game where David finishes the sentence that I propose and throws in his thoughts. And let's start with, the Dallas Stars need a bounce back season from blank.
I mean, it's got to be Thomas Harley. Well, I take it back. I would say Jake Ottinger. I think Jake Ottinger, they're both close. I feel like Harley and Ottinger are close, but it's got to be Ottinger, just because, you know, when we talk about sort of, you're talking about a team against a cap crunch, right? You know, you have a number one goalie that's paid like a number one goalie that has not given you number one goalie results. Like, he's just got to be better. And I think he has the capacity to do that. I think the question for Ottinger has always been, well, when are we going to see it? Like, when are we going to see... And I think he has value in terms of, you look at, especially his underlying numbers, he's very, very consistent, but still, like, doesn't have that steel game quality that you get from other goaltenders that are paid like number one goaltenders. And also plenty of goalies that aren't paid like number one goalies. So So I think Ottinger kind of tops the list, because if Dallas kind of has a situation like last season where you're not getting his best and you've lost Maverick Bork, yeah, you know, all of a sudden, you know, sort of that, you know, wild card spot is, you know, looking a little warm for Dallas's seat.
Speaking of wild card, David, finish this sentence. David's wild card to put the Stars in the top three and not a wild card position, the player is blank. That was a Justin poor structured sentence, by the way. But
no, I got it. I was having so much trouble. Like, it's got to be Justin Ritzkovian.
Interesting.
And I'm personally skeptical, because I think he's a solid little player, man. It really, the job that he did, like, you cannot give him enough flowers for what he was able to do in his first season. But he is an older player, right? Especially for a prospect. So, but nonetheless, like, it's so critical, right? If Robertson, Hintz, and let's say Sagan is your top line, and they had great results last season, it's critical that Johnston and Rantanen, as we've seen, have a complementary player. I don't believe Ritzkovian is that guy, but if he can turn into that guy, that's huge.
I think that, I don't know if you've read my scouting report that I send to you of why I should scout for you, but I think you remember I was on the Justin Ritzkovian bandwagon pretty early. But I'm going to put Tyler Seguin as far as a wild card, just for the simple fact, you know, it needs to stay healthy, which I know is a huge question mark. But we talk about, you're right, the loss of that secondary scoring with Maverick Bork. I really do feel as though Tyler Seguin can give you 20 to 25 goals if healthy, which is just such a major factor. We don't know what's going to happen. But a healthy Hintz and a healthy Seguin, wow, and those are big ifs. I think those are game changers. So I'm gonna throw, but I agree. I mean, it's going to be interesting what Ritzkovian becomes. So I think you're absolutely right there. Like, you know, if he stays like he is, solid NHL. But is there another level? Which I think we always wonder, you know, with these players. You know, you and I always talked about Maverick Bork. Unfortunately, we saw it a little bit too late. We were just starting to get the Maverick Bork that you and I really, really loved. And I give you credit, you were always high on Maverick Bork. You always thought that this level could be obtained. It was. We saw it late in the year and in the playoffs, and he was rewarded in Nashville with a new contract.
And kudos to him, man. That was well earned. And also he just improved a lot of his game. You know what? Let's not talk about Bork, because it stings too much. Getting back to kind of your point, I think that's a great answer, because Seguin, man, it's hard to imagine him missing another full season. But yeah, you know, we said that once before and it happened again. And obviously it's not going to get easier on his body, but that's kind of why sort of, I think both answers kind of really reveal kind of what this team could look like and why running it back might not be the worst thing, because if Seguin has taken over the Bork role and given you similar production, and Ritzkovian has another layer to his game, and then you have Sam Steele with Matt Duchene and Jamie Benn. Say what you want about Jamie Benn, that line was really good last season, and they would have stayed together if it wasn't for the injuries. So all of a sudden, that's a pretty strong top nine, and it would have been a strong top nine regardless. I mean, you know, you have these like elite players; they're gonna break, you know, games open for you. But nonetheless, like I think Stars fans are kind of sleeping on what exactly running it back means and what it has potential to look like. Yes, there's plenty of room for criticism and slight dooming, but there's also room for optimism.
Based on what Artu Huru did last year and Justin Ritzkovian coming up pretty quick in the season and doing what he did, the Texas star that David feels could make an impact in the NHL next year is blank.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Emil Hemming. And it, again, this is not coming from anything that I've ever like heard in terms of inside whispers. In fact, all the insiders, you know, are highly skeptical and would probably just kind of, you know, poo-poo that answer to begin with. I just think that if certain things don't break, you know, if, for example, like Sagan doesn't play all 82 games, if Fritz-Kovian doesn't really have kind of the level that they need in that top six, as long as Hemming can do his part in the AHL, I just feel like there's going to be a very strong appetite to include a brand new talent, make it look like, hey, we had no problem losing Bork. We had a guy that was ready to take his place. And Hemming, a right winger, speed, size, plenty of experience on the power play as well as the PK. It's his profile is almost just like too perfect not to get an opportunity. And I think that's kind of why I'm sort of willing to go out on a limb. And the same way I went out on a limb for R2 Hutu. What did I just call him? R2 Huru. I'm so sorry. I'm used to the silly Discord nicknames that we have for. Because Huru was another guy. I thought he would get the position over Ritz-Kovian, but still ended up being a player that Gullitson was willing to trust. And just to add to that Hemming discussion, Gullitson has shown himself, to his credit, willing to play the young players and then giving them rope. There it is, man. I think that reality is much closer than people might think.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dylan Ritz-Kovian. I think that his age and experience playing in Hockey East will pay dividends. I like what he did in the Calder Cup playoffs. I think probably based on his experience, but pretty amazing that the Texas Stars had him on a top line going, you know, into the playoffs when he just arrived on the scene. So everything I heard is not like his brother as far as the play, but like his brother as far as a rink rat and wanting to be around the rink, wanting to improve. And I'm interested to see the numbers he picks up in his first full year of Texas. I know that, you know, when the prospects were just here, he was someone that stood out. And I just see like stood out at Northeastern, stood out, you know, with the Stars and the Calder. I'm just seeing signs that he could have a breakout where people are like, oh, okay. But I agree. I mean, what Hemming did in juniors this year got me so energized. And David, I think you and I were talking about this. I credit the organization. Maybe they had to make the move, but you know, sometimes putting your first round draft pick back in the juniors, I mean, it's been done before and everything, but it was a very smart move by the organization doing that. And I think it's going to pay dividends. It got his confidence back.
Well, I think what I liked about it is it was a very flexible move, right? You gave him the opportunity to kind of, you know, get a taste of the AHL. You probably would have preferred to keep him around if he had performed, but it allowed them that option. It allowed them that option of, finding out a little bit more about this particular player by, you know, putting him in two different environments. And you know, he still had something to prove in the OHL, right? You know, this is a player that I think part of my initial skepticism, part of why I initially kind of was a little down on Hemming is that he didn't produce like a top line prospect in his first year, and giving him that second go around, he just kind of smashed all expectations, produced like a top, you know, like a top prospect, and not just because the goals were there and not just because he was excellent in the playoffs, but because he really rounded out his game. He's a player that seemed to add a little bit of speed, a lot more net front drive. And for a player that is kind of considered primarily a shooter, even added some playmaking as well. So So yeah, like just high marks all around for Hemming. And one of the reasons why I'm just kind of so optimistic that he can be a real player, you know, much sooner than I think people think.
And let's just finish with defensively, not necessarily a question, but just your overall thoughts. Nils Lundqvist, does he continue to evolve? Do we feel as though there's a next part of his game? And is there pressure on Liam Bitschel with the experience that he's gaining as a first round pick with that size to at least compete on that second line pairing?
So with regard to Lundqvist, I would say that I think what he gave Dallas at the end of the year and into the playoffs is I think that's his ceiling. I think that's what he's going to give you because, you know, he has like certain limitations. He's not like a, you know, he's not a fast player despite his profile as a puck mover. You know, he's really a guy that can capitalize on sort of in zone play. And that's fine because I think what he showed in terms of development was better defense. And so as long as he can just be steady and consistent, that's plenty, you know, especially when you're behind players like Heiskanen and Harley and Lindell. Like, I think he's doing everything you could ask for him. I don't think we're going to see anything, you know, new or like, you know, interesting wrinkles to his game, but I think he's already shown enough. And I think we'll see that next season. And it'll probably be more pronounced assuming Harley is kind of returns to form. And as far as Liam Bitschel, That's so hard to say because he's still so young. There's still so much runway in terms of development. But it's always going to be difficult for him to really kind of prove himself because he's a left shot defender and he's behind a bunch of left shot defenders, right? You know, he's not going to break into the top four because whether it's Harley on the second pair or Lindell on the second pair, there's just no world where he's kind of playing those minutes. And so he's essentially kind of left to kind of fend for himself with Tyler Myers, which, I mean, you know, there's a ton of like height on the back end, but how much skill and chemistry is there? And I think my skepticism of that is maybe why it's kind of hard to really evaluate Bitschel on those terms because he's not in an ideal environment right now. He kind of is because, you know, Dallas is a good team and he's not asked to do much, but where's the opportunity for him to show more? I don't think that opportunity is just there. Just on principle.
And finally, a team to watch in the Western Conference, team to watch in the Eastern Conference. Like David's like, hey, keep an eye. I mean, you and I talked to Anaheim last year, Buffalo, just kind of an oddball team. I mean, we know the favorites going in, but what's a team that you are off season? I mean, I'll give you mine just to give you a chance to think. I think the LA Kings had a really good offseason. Not necessarily a fan of the coaching hire. You know, I mean, it's okay, but I just like the LA Kings setup, and I'm interested to see how they perform. I think injuries really hurt them last year, and I'm going to throw an oddball in the East. Losing a Tkachuk is never easy, but I actually really like what Ottawa picked up. With the salary cap flexibility that they had, I think Steve Staios is doing a pretty good job in Ottawa as far as acquisition. So I know everyone thinks since Tkachuk went to Florida that Ottawa's dead. I actually think Ottawa is a playoff team next year.
Oh man, so many good candidates. We could like have, we need to do like a non-Stars hockey podcast, man.
I love it. Let's do it.
I would say, so, man, I want to talk about Anaheim, but I'll say San Jose. San Jose is kind of like an obvious answer just because, like, they're just must-watch TV to begin with. But I feel like a lot of sort of my fellow chart huggers, which I don't belong in that category because I don't actually, like, code or, like, run any models like they do. But I feel like a lot of people hated those moves to bring in Nurse and Trouba, and it was just, like, a ton of money. And, you know, Greer, what are you doing? But I feel like all of that grossly understates how terrible their blue line is and what an upgrade Nurse and Trouba are just in principle, right? So because, you know, for all of their faults, like, well, they're functional defensemen. That's a functional blue line now between Orlov, Nurse, Dickinson, Trouba, you know, even some of their prospects like Cagnoni. So you throw in that with the additions of Mason Marchment and Ivar Stenbark, who I love, man. That is, I mean, it's like that in addition to the continued development of Chernyshov, who I also love, and Michael Misa, who I think is going to take like quietly. I can't remember what his point totals were. I think they were really low. I think it was like 30 points, but like didn't really have opportunities, but very, very quietly effective. And he's kind of that kind of player. So I feel like if Anaheim falls out, I'm not all that shocked. I don't think they will, but I'm not shocked if San Jose actually makes a wild card. When you look at the kind of the badness that's gone on and just how much better they got. Again, better they got defensively compared to in proportion to what they were previously, what they previously had. So they're definitely my team in the West. In terms of the East, hate to say it, man. I don't like them. I'm always rooting for the demise, but it's got to be Toronto. And I realize that's hard to say because the Atlantic is just so brutal. But if Gavin McKenna is even like half the player that we think he is, I mean, and Tanev is healthy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard for me not to see them. And a lot of this depends on Matthew's health as well, right? There are a lot of X factors, but even though I didn't like a lot of their moves, the fact that they won the draft lottery, I think that can kind of take them pretty far. And, you know, it wouldn't be shocking to see a team like Ottawa, who I agree, I like their moves, but you know, you throw a Toronto team that's like healthy and that's like add in someone like Gavin McKenna. And I can't remember what their other move was this season, but they made some other addition, Radish. That's right. Radish, which is a really great addition. Could go either way, but it's hard for me not like, I wouldn't be surprised. Kind of like with San Jose, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto makes the playoffs next season.
Yeah. I think that's a really, people aren't talking and he re-signed with them because I know it was for a lot of money and it's not as much money this time, but John Tavares had 71 points last year. And I know the team wasn't great, but Tavares has been really good in Toronto.
That's like kind of taking
taking a backseat to Austin Matthews and other players, but he really took a leadership role as well. So that's been a good signing for Toronto, but kind of under the radar. People never don't talk about it anymore because it's like old man Tavares still skating around, but 71 points. That's a banger of a season in that division as well, man. We're at an hour, so we got to go, but this has been a lot of fun, David, man. You always bring it. I really do appreciate you. Sorry, we're going to miss you on August 11th, but the good news is so we're going to pack the house and we're going to do it again. And we'll have David Castillo along for the journey because you have been so great to this program and you add just a lot of flavor to the show. And I truly appreciate it. Just tell us real quick what you have coming up. Tell us some of the things that you're talking about as far as your Substack, Star Stack, or your other Substack that you do, Sticks and Salvos.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much just kind of did the shameless plug for me, right? So at the Star Stack, I've been running report cards every day. I'll run them each day into like August for every player. The hints one was really interesting because, when you dig deep, it's kind of funny that hints's even strength ice time per game is like, There are 200 plus players that play more even strength minutes than Hintz does per game. So anyways, kind of talked a lot about that. Did Wyatt Johnson today, Sticks and Salvos. I'll be kind of talking about Utah and kind of some of their offseason moves at Sticks and Salvos tomorrow. And then, of course, the D Magazine, I'll be writing something, should be writing something this month. I was on their show yesterday, and it might have gone up today. Haven't had a chance to kind of check social media because I try to avoid it as much as possible. Just kind of stay on the Discord where I can just kind of tune everything out. But be sure to watch my appearance on the D Magazine show where I really went in depth on the Jason Robertson discussion and a little bit about the Star season in general.
I love it. I love it. You are the man, David. Thank you so much as always, man. This was a great one.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for joining us. This off season has been absolutely terrific. It's been a silly season, but you've been along for the ride and I truly appreciate it. We're all going to celebrate together on Tuesday, August 11th at Boomer Jacks. It's their Fairview/Allen location. I say Allen, it's like right on the line. Technically it's Fairview. So just to let you know, 6 to 7, it's going to be like a little cocktail hour, just get together. And that's your opportunity to meet everyone that's going to be there. Some quality time with Stephen Meserve or Leah Simakopoulos or Sean Shapiro or Robert Tiffin. I'll be in the corner watching you, but if you want to talk to me, that's good too. You know, it's just going to be a fun time. And bring your friends out. This is not the kind of event where this is a hockey celebration. I'm almost like not calling it a Spits and Suds event because I don't want people thinking like it's just about the podcast. The podcast will be a major part of that, and that's going to be at 7, and that's going to be fun. We'll have a live Q&A as well. So we'll have a lot going on, you know, for that, and it'll be a real good, healthy Dallas Stars discussion with our panel. But basically, it's like bring your friends. It's you know, it's August. What a great time to really get excited about hockey. We're going to take pictures. We're going to have tons of giveaways. So it's going to be great. Once again, Boomer Jacks in the Fairview Allen area right off 75. Some of you ask, where do I get tickets? The bottom line is, you know, sometimes this is funny as I run 105.3 The Fan. Sometimes we charge for things. We try not to. But there is the thought, if I buy a ticket, I'm more obligated to go. So I'm going to challenge you that this is completely free because I didn't want you to spend money. I want you to spend your money at Boomer Jacks. I want you to buy some Frosties. I want you to enjoy it with your friends. Get appetizers. Get dinner. Just have a blast and put the money back into you and your buddies and Boomer Jacks. That's where I want you to spend your money. Now, the caveat to that is the obligation to go. So if we do this and it's a success, and I'm sorry to get on my soapbox, but if we make this a success, then we can do it again and other ideas and we can grow together. So it's really, really cool. I'm super excited to see you guys in just a few weeks. Special thanks to David. Special thanks to Gregory Finley. He makes this program happen. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to the on-time experts. Until our next podcast, which will happen tomorrow morning with Sean Shapiro, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.